I'm Chuck Adams, one of the co-chairs for Council Affairs. We're going to do introductions. I'll just start as Zoom shows me. Vilma.
I'm sorry. Yes.
You just say hello.
Hi.
Okay. Anna.
Hi, Anna Brentsville, Council Member of San Mateo County.
Kira.
Kara, Council Staff.
Irma.
Irma Parada, Council Co-Chair.
Mark.
Mark Molnar, Council Staff.
Jan.
Jan Osperson, Council Member.
Marco.
Hey, good afternoon, everyone. Marco Montenegro, Mission Neighborhood Health Center, Clinica Esperanza, Council Member.
Cool. Kat.
Pat Tochgear, Council Staff.
Na.
Hi, Nolly, Council Member.
And Beth.
Beth Neary, AGB Health Services, San Francisco Department of Public Health.
Oh, cool. Next is review and approve the August 12th agenda. Anybody have any changes? If not, we'll approve it by consensus. And then next would be the July 8th, 2025 draft minutes. All right, if nobody has anything to say, then we'll say approved by consensus. All right, now we'll move on to announcements. Does anyone have an announcement? Just raise your hand if you do. Wow, nothing today. And there's no public. So we're going to jump right into the HIV Care Connect update.
Looks like Beth has her hand up.
Yes.
I have an announcement. You may have seen an email already. I'm not sure, but all of the awards for Part A, Part C, and EG have come in now. And we're fairly close to flat funded. We're down a little in Part A and Part C in the ways that are not insignificant, but predictable and might be covered locally. And we're up a smidgen in EG. So that's at least, it's close to neutral in the end, which is pretty positive in the current environment.
Anyone else? All right, then we'll move on to the HIV Care Connect update.
So that's usually provided by Flora, but I see Vilma is here. Is Vilma, will you be providing our presentation overview?
Beth and I will be splitting it, doing the
Oh, Beth.
presentation. Beth and I.
Okay.
Thank you.
Great. So whenever you're ready, just go ahead and share screen and walk us through it.
All right. Thank you.
Beth, they're ready. Short delay. Thank
That's
you.
okay.
Yeah, I'm already on
I
the
will be right back. I need to restart my computer because I'm not able to open up certain apps. Be back shortly.
All right. But go ahead, whichever one of you is going first.
Yeah, Beth is pulling up the
Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, sorry, it'll be just one more moment. It's downloaded, but not yet ready to open somehow.
Okay.
In between moment. I guess it's a big file.
Yes, thank you, Beth.
Well, maybe I can do it from within my email. It may not look perfect, but this might be faster.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll do it this way instead. Just a moment. Can you see that? Probably I haven't shared yet.
Yeah, no, not yet.
Beth, I also have the PDF version if you'd like me to share
Oh,
my
that'd be
screen.
great. Yeah, I'm having some technical challenges.
Okay.
I don't know what I'm doing wrong.
Is it this one?
Yes.
Yeah,
All
perfect.
right.
Okay. First slide is an analysis. What we will be seeing in our presentation today is an analysis of San Francisco eligible metropolitan area, EMA. That will include all Ryan White, White parts, San Francisco Department of Public Health, HHS general funds, and EHE funds for the 2024 calendar year. Next slide, please. HIV Care Connect, or ACC, San Francisco Department of Public Health HIV Health Services transitioned from ARES to HIV Care Connect in April of 2025. Anyone needing access to ACC must contact the local SF help desk, and we will be able to set them up, which is me, Vilma Molina. San Francisco is still your first point of contact for ACC needs. Thank you. Next slide. What is ARES and what is it used for? ARES stands for AIDS Regional Information Evaluation System, that and the data is used for evaluation, measurement, and data pulled for Ryan White grant application and annual federal reporting. Next slide, please. Facts on the data reporting. The reporting period for this presentation for this year is 1/1/2024 to the end of the year 12/31/2024. Which will be including funding sources of the Ryan White Part A, B, C, D, and SFDPH, HHS general funds, and EHE funds. And very important, the total EMA unduplicated client count of this for this year, UDC, is the end number. The number is 6,250 clients received a service in ARES under the above funding sources. Next slide, please. Ways to look at total EMA UDC versus ARES, UDCs, and primary care. The total EMA living with HIV is 14,276 currently. The total ARES EMA, all Ryan White parts, EHE, and general fund is 6,250. ARES EMA primary care is 3,369 currently. Next slide, please. Notes on the data 1 of 2. Many data elements responses are based upon client self-report. The medical data included is based on actual medical records, labs, and results. Also new in ARES refers to clients receiving HHS Ryan White General Fund EHE services in the new contract fiscal year, not necessarily newly diagnosed. Next slide, please. Notes on the data 2 of 2. Unknown is a value selected by the ARES user, which means that there was an attempt to collect the data, but the client was unable to provide it. Also importantly, unknown numbers or percentages will be stated but removed from graphs, pie charts for comparative analysis. Next slide, please. EMA total UDC breakouts. The total EMA-wide, the unduplicated client UDC is 6,250, as we mentioned earlier, 545 or 8.72% of clients served in the EMA were new in ARES, or 1.0% are shared clients across counties within the EMA. And you could also see currently duplicate count is 283 or 4.5%. San Francisco, as being the highest, UDC is 5,578 or 89.2% of total EMA. And San Mateo, the UDC is 563 or 9.0% of total EMA UDC. Next slide, please. Do you want me to finish this one? Then the current gender for EMA is female. The current number is 751 or 12.0%. For male is 5,102 or 82%. Transgender is 349 or 5.6%. Next slide, and I'll pass it over to Beth. Thank you.
Mama?
Kira.
So this is a continuation of the gender information, and this just shows how things have shifted over time. The female percentage has remained pretty consistent over the last 10 years, starting at 12, ending at 12.02%. which is the same, just more decimals. The male and transgender populations have shifted a little bit. That might be because we've all long speculated that's better identification of transgender clients, mostly transgender female clients. So it has changed theoretically from 84.7% in 2015 to 81.95% in the most recent full calendar year. And transgender clients have gone from 3.2% to 5.6% of our client base. And we do group transgender male and female clients together for this reporting for the only for the reason that there are very few transgender male clients. And so it would be we don't want to reveal how many and what their viral load status is, because it's sort of we would need to suppress the N because it's I think below 5 or at least below 10. So we just combine them as opposed to leaving them out. Next slide, please. Race data for the eligible metropolitan area. So this is our sort of long-standing traditional format where across the top we have a little bit of all county table, and then in the bottom pie charts we have by each county because the demographics do look a little different for each county. So looking just first across the whole EMA, the largest race ethnicity category is white at almost 40%, Black at 17.8%, Latino at 27.7%, Asian Pacific Islander at 5.3%, Native American 1.7%, multi-ethnic at 3.2%, and unknown 4.4%. Looking at this from the pie chart lens, San Francisco is a little bit, just a little bit whiter than some of the other counties, and also more Black African American clients. And San Mateo stands out because it has more Latino clients, and Marin also has relative to San Francisco more Latino clients. Otherwise, they're somewhat consistent. Next slide, please. Age for eligible metropolitan area. And I think we've broken out this out into more like narrower categories over the years. So right now there are not very many clients between ages 0 to 24, mostly because there's not very many new diagnoses. Those are mostly people who either moved here or were diagnosed in their early 20s. So 64 is the total number of people across the whole EMA, all three counties. Ages 24, 25 to 44, there are 1,844 clients. 45 to 49, so a narrower bracket there. There are 545 clients, 50 to 54, 643, 55 to 59, 870, 60 to 64, 871, 65 and up, 1,413. And I think the reason why we've gone to more breakout to the age, people who are getting close to 65 is partly because Medicare eligibility at over age 65 is important, and the people leading up to that age group, and just an interest in from the Planning Council in people getting close to that age. Age-wise, just very consistent with every other presentation on demographics you've seen. It's an aging population across all of the counties, so nothing stands out too much other than San Francisco certainly has the older population. San Mateo has a fairly similar age demographic, and Marin is definitely a little bit on the younger side. Next slide, please. So current living situation for eligible metropolitan area: stable, temporary, and unstable are the three high-level categories reported in HIV Care Connect, or ARIES. This is still reported out of ARIES. So first, the people who are unknown in ARIES are just taken out of these statistics in the pie charts. So 70.2% across all counties are stably housed, 20% are temporarily housed, and 6.8% are unstably housed. And there are more people in Marin and San Mateo in unstable housing situations. Next slide, please. Insurance stats for EMA. This is a controversial slide that we've never figured out the best way to present because people fall into multiple insurance categories within a year and even within a moment, like at the same time. So, not very many clients are privately insured, and those clients that are privately insured are probably not accessing outpatient ambulatory health services. They're probably getting food services or something else. Medicare, 27.39% of the clients have. Medicaid, 82.1% of the clients have. There's substantial overlap between Medicare and Medicaid for the Medi-Medi for the lower income people over 65 or who have younger versions of Medicare. 31.1% have no reported insurance. And that can include things like Healthy San Francisco, which is insurance-esque, but not quite insurance, although that's not as big of a contingent as it used to be. And other insurance is reported, which is a broad encompassing category, is 65.3%. And again, everything you look at here will add up to more than 100%. There's overlap both across the year and at one point in time. This is every insurance status that's reported by any agency the client sees throughout the year. Next slide, please. So now we're going into first, from here on out, I think for the rest of the pie charts you see, we're looking only at people who received outpatient ambulatory health services. Also, usually we call that primary care services. So because we do that because that's who we have extremely good viral load data for. That's who we have the lab data for. We have lab data for a lot of people with medical case management and a few other service categories, but limiting it to outpatient health, make sure we have solid data. So it's also smaller. Like I don't see the N on this one, but this is from Vilma's first slide of the target where you have 14,000 and then you have 6,200 and then you have like 3,300, I don't know, 3,000 something. That's who's in the rest of these slides, the people who we have medical data for from their medical providers reported that into ARIES. So this is the viral, the who's prescribed antiretrovirals by race. As you can see, it's a lot of blue. Almost everybody's prescribed antiretrovirals. There are subtle differences. Black is the highest, not on ART, 1.4%. I think white is the second highest with 0.7%, then multi-ethnic at 0.5%, and then Latino at 0.4%, and then 0% for Native American and Asian and Pacific Islander. It's possible that this just data, like the medical programs just missed some of entering that data. It's also possible that some of those clients declined prescriptions, and that's why it's not in there. Next slide, please. EMA ART by age. So again, a lot of blue. Most people have ART. Everybody under 24 has an ART prescription or antiretroviral prescription. Also, everybody between 50 and 54 coincidentally does. The highest not on ART is both the 25 to 44 and the 55 to 59, but both of those are under 1%. So in any age category we look at, more than 99 out of 100 people are prescribed ART. So the reasons for not being prescribed are mostly like client refusal, not so much lack of access or lack of providers recommending it. Next slide. So those, three county version of EMA antiretrovirals by gender. For male, 99.3% are on ART. Female, 99.4% are on ART, and 99.5% of transgender clients are on ART. So again, more than 99 out of 100. Next slide. So there's some fall off between being prescribed ART and having suppressed viral load. So just because you're prescribed ART does not mean you take it and it works for you. But these did look better to me this year than they, I mean, I didn't compare it to last year's presentation, but they did strike me as a little bit better overall from here on to the next slides. Viral load for the whole three counties by race ethnicity. So for And these, there's only two buckets. There's suppressed and unsuppressed. So 200 plus viral load is unsuppressed. 0 to 99 is suppressed. So for white clients, 91% had viral suppression. For Black African American clients, 87% had viral suppression. Asian and Pacific Islander, 94%. Native American, 93%. Latino, 92%. And multi-ethnic, 90%. We have for about 4 or 5 years had a project with the HAB Health Services and some of our providers of outpatient ambulatory health and medical case management services had a project to improve viral suppression rate for Black African American clients, because that's one of our known disparities. And we have pretty close to eliminating it, but every year when we look at our full EMA data, it's still not totally eliminated. Like that still is our disparity. And in most times, multi-ethnic is the next in line for a disparity. Okay, and we'll take questions and suggestions about how to change this presentation either at the end or at any time. I haven't seen any hands, but feel free to ask away at any point. Next slide, please. And I forgot to say from the last slide, but the little star of the asterisk applies to the last slide in this slide, filtered by unduplicated clients. That's what UDC stands for, who receive primary care services and unknown have re been removed. So if we didn't know the viral load results, it was taken out. So there could be people who are unsuppressed, but they just haven't had a test or that data hasn't been entered into ARIES and soon HCC. So there might be some missing data. So EMA viral load by age, 0 to 24, young people, 86% were virally suppressed. The next bracket, 24, 25 to 44, 84.8% revitally suppressed. Next up, 45 to 64, 91% revitally suppressed. And by the time you get to 65 in order, 96% of people were suppressed. So generally, us being very young is a little bit better. Like 24 to 40, 25 to 44 was the lowest rate we have. And then as people get older, viral load suppression tends to increase. Next slide. Like countywide or multi-county viral load by gender. So for male clients, 90% had viral suppression. Female, 90% had viral suppression. Transgender, 87% had viral suppression. This had in the past done better. I don't know why it's slipped a little. And I don't know if I'm thinking back a couple of years, but usually transgender has been on par or usual in most of our graphs in recent years. So that's too bad. Maybe something, yeah, we'll work on that. Next slide, please. And I think I'm going back to Vilma for the slide, right?
Yes, it's facts and questions. Is this data reflecting everyone who is living with HIV in San Francisco, Marin, and San Mateo? The answer is no. The data is only reflecting clients that receive services through Brian White, EHE, and General Fund HHS funding. Why is the ART and viral load only based on the clients that receive primary care? Everest requires primary care providers to enter viral load from a verified lab for their clients. Other providers who do not have access to a client's lab can't enter this data. So this is what Beth is talking about, that maybe all of the data didn't get in on time, or it just was not collected. Similarly, medical providers also collect ART information on all of their clients. Why do the insurance percentages add up to more than 100%? As Beth was explaining earlier, the reason that this data field is not equal to 100% is because clients can report more than one type of insurance during the reporting period. Next slide, please. And this brings us to this. If you have any questions, please contact Flor Roman, Vilma Molina, and/or Beth Neri if you have any questions related to this presentation. Thank you for your time and dedication to the Planning Council and here. And Beth and I are here. So if you have any questions, thank you. Thank you, Kira, for managing the slides.
Yeah, thank you very much, Kara.
Thank you.
Does anybody have any questions, suggestions? I thought it was excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you, Shah.
I agree. It's very helpful for me. Since I'm new, it really helps to kind of see all the data from all the counties.
Hey, can I? Yeah, the one thing I wanted to mention, yeah, it was just so was yeah, it was eye-opening to see the ART by race, right? To see how high the percentage is, right? It looked like an average of maybe 99%. And yet last month John Ainsley presented, and I think he said that the city's viral load suppression rate is around, I think it was like 86 or 87%. So like, you know, more than a 10% disparity there. So that seems a little intriguing.
I have some comments on that. One is that, of course, just because somebody's prescribed ART doesn't mean they picked it up or took it every day. Also, the way ARIES works, and I believe HCC works, that particular field is unique, that and PCP prophylaxis, the medication field, in that when you enter it, you have to enter a start date, that's a required field, but you don't actually have to enter an end date. So, and if you're doing a bunch of data entry, you don't want to enter a dead end date. It's just because that means you're just going to have to do it again. And once somebody's on ART, they're 10 times out of 100, they're always going to be have it available to them. So I would say that's a weakness of that field. If somebody like lapsed in a prescription, like if they had an insurance issue and they couldn't get to their doctor, and like there could be gaps that aren't evident through that lens that some people fill it out and re repeat fill it out, but also it's just a field that like you know it lets it ride. So I'd say the difference between the viral suppression, there's some data of even though 99% of people have at some point in the year or in a recent year had a ART prescription available to them and reflected it's possible they couldn't have one at this moment due to access issues. Like that is a possibility. And also some people just haven't been able, you know, there's all sorts of reasons to not be able to take the medications or side effects even. Like some people don't want to take their medications some days.
Yeah. Can also it was interesting to see, right? Because there appears to be direct correlation between a person's housing instability and their viral load suppression, right? And yet for San Mateo County and Marin, I think the slides show that the housing instability is greater than it is in San Francisco, but yet their viral load suppression, it seemed to be pretty good, right? So I'm like wondering what's going on there.
Well, can you show that slide? Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I was gonna say it might be helpful to kind of explain what is defined as temporary and what is defined as unstable, because we actually have lower percentages for what's in unstable, but higher percentage for temporary. So I think it's helpful to define, because there's so many different options when you're entering the housing situation in Aries.
Well, in Aries, and especially in HIV Care Connected, at least, which I've looked at more recently, they're two separate fields. And there's always been two separate fields. I just don't remember what they're mapped in Aries. So in HIV Care Connect, at least moving forward, there's like a long list of possible housing situations, like very specific, let's say 15 options. And then there's a separate question of, is this temporary, stable, or unstable, if I got the words right. So that, like, the person filling that out either got that from the client, or that was their assessment of what the client reported of their specific situation. So there's yeah, and in some of the, at least the HCC reports, like, it's not obvious. Like sometimes people report something that sounds to me as unstable, and but it's been classified as stable, or vice versa. Or like the same category of subcategory of let's I don't know if SRO is one of them, but let's say SRO was one of them. That maps to both stable and unstable, depending on who filled out the second question. It's not a completely objective, that one, as well. And it's possible people in the different counties are filling it out differently. There might be different perceptions or different providers doing those questions.
Jan, did you have a question?
Yeah, no, it was sort of like it's interesting because I mean, I thought to myself, like, is, around the housing question, are temporary in Marin County around, just people who are renting versus people who own, something like that, where it's like, here we're so like focused on like, is your rental ongoing, yes or no? One. The second, my question was around the viral suppression data, because this looks really, really good. And I guess my sort of like comment slash question is, if unknown in the last 12 months would have been either included as assumed unsuppressed, like how would this look different?
I'm glad you asked, because there are a lot of ways that the wind is at the back of that measure in Aries and with unknown left out. And that won't be true in HIV Care Connect. They're actually, it's the opposite. It's like too conservative right now. They're trying to quality assurance check it and fix the formulas. But in Aries, in the report we use for this, that we've always historically used, so for continuity, we use the same one. I believe it's the STAR report. And the STAR report, we realized, I don't know, 5 years ago, that it pulled in the most recent viral load result whenever that was. Like, it could be 10 years old. I mean, it's not, but it may not be in the last 12 months. So the STAR report necessarily gives the most recent assessment of somebody's viral load status, but it could be out of date, and just not assessed, or we don't have the most recent lab. So that is an advantage, like that alone. And leaving out the unknown, those people are the least connected to care. Most likely, it's probably not random whose viral load is unknown. Yeah, so I mean, in other projects we do, when we look, there's like a lot of different ways to measure viral load suppression, and I would say it varies from 70 to 90%, or 71 to 91%, more or less, depending on how you measure it, and who you include in both the denominator and numerator. So this is comparable to most recent years' Aries presentations because the methodology is the same, but it's probably not what we would report externally, like to HRSA, using the metric, because the HRSA definition is the denominator is you had a service in the affected, you've had a service in the affected service category, so that aligns with what we're doing here. But the numerator, I think it only counts viral load in the last 12 months, and unknown counts against you. So it would be 10 or 20% lower if we were looking at that. So yeah, it just there's different ways to look at the viral suppression rate, and we've just always from Aries. The STAR report is the easiest way to pull it, but not easy. It might be the only way to pull it by demographics in this way. And there was no way to say like no check marks. So they like exclude viral loads out of 12 months. So for some of our QI projects, we have separate reports that we get from separate medical record systems where we specifically exclude those. But it depends a little bit on the system you're using, what the defaults are. And the defaults of areas are very positive.
And I think Beth, like this is like a super important disclaimer because like just for people viewing this,
Yeah,
like
that's true. We should probably put another slide. Yeah.
this may look, you know, somewhat better than the like real world landscape is, and just sort of like hearing you talk to the limitations of it, it's sort of like to me, I'm like, oh, okay. A, this makes sense, and B, you know, there's still work to do on the back end.
Yeah, I mean, I think maybe we could add a slide about the viral, like how the viral load is calculated and how it may or may not be comparable. Because I think Marco brought up how it may look different than the one John presented if it was pulled from a different report or if, you know, we managed to exclude people with things out of. So I think we should maybe put some sort of cautionary note in addition to just the asterisk about the unknown being not counted. Also, that the viral loads, it's the most recent viral load in Aries, and that is more generous, you know, and so is higher than some other ways of viewing the viral load. And there just is no way with this report that we can see by demographic to exclude the other ones. And I am worried about how big the jump will be in HIV Care Connect. Like right now, it's looking like viral load is 60%, which is inaccurate anyway you slice it. There's no definition where that's true. Like that is just not right. And there's multiple known errors. But once they fix those known errors, I still wonder. And there was an email thread this last week between some of us in HIV Health Service and actually Ward 86. I hear that Ward 86 uses a unique definition that I think, like they use viral, most recent viral load in the last 18 months, which kind of makes sense as some people are getting their viral loads. You're supposed to get it every 6 months, but some people are getting them every 12 or 13 months. So then you wouldn't lose those people who just were beyond the 12 months, which we don't really have the power to define it in that way. But I think for programmatic reasons, I think it makes sense that you guys are looking at it that way. And I don't know where the state and HCC is going to settle, but we probably will go with whatever HCC is and just explain why it's very different next year.
Oh,
If it is. Yeah.
no, totally. And you know, I would say like, you know, people like Marco's group and our group and the jail health services and whatnot, like we all have this sort of like subsection of people who are almost persistently disengaged, but engaged enough to sort of like, you know, hit the radar often enough to sort of like, you know, they may touch base with social work or, you know, come in for something so they're still active in the system. But that's the group where, you know, we're sort of like honing in on more and more. And that's the group that has struggled quite a bit with achieving and maintaining viral suppression.
How much of that 10% do you think that is? Or do you think that's part of the other part that's not even in the denominator of this particular one? Like, do you think that's half the people who aren't virally suppressed and the other half are just having trouble taking their medication daily? Like, what's your
I mean,
approximate guess?
it would be interesting to dive deeper actually, just to see like you know, because you have sort of like you have the group of people who are like known unsuppressed, you know, decidedly off meds, despite, you know, it's a small group, but there. Then you have the people who have the temporary sort of like fluctuation, like regimen failure, you know, like sort of incidentally developing resistance to a regimen they've been on, and are sort of like, you know, you have the viral load measurements exactly as, or the last viral load measurement is when the switch over is happening, and that can be a few months, right? When people are sort of like stabilizing on a new regimen. Then you have the people who sort of go on and off, you know, and then there's a group of people that, you know, have prescriptions, but never really achieve, or if they achieve, then they don't maintain. And I would say that, you know, sort of guess like this is that this is somewhere between 8 and 12% of sort of each catchment as a whole, and ebbs and flows a little bit.
That makes sense. I mean, it's the other piece of this is for goal setting, which we don't do an absolute ton of, like in our contracting, which we don't talk about here much. There's like an abstract goal for everybody, or it's a specific goal for everybody. But also, the like the federal goal of like 95%, it like that would be good. Like if we reach 95% viral suppression rate, that among other things would be good for like getting to zero type of strategy, because it would reduce transmission, it would reduce health issues, it would reduce all kinds of things. So we're gravitating in our minds towards a 95% goal eventually, not for contracts, but for, you know, quality improvement. But it really depends how you measure it. Whether, like, if you're at 91%, getting 95%, even though these are the harder to reach clients, is plausible. If you're really at 71%, if you measure a different way, 95% is miles and miles away, many years, not a couple. So I think better understanding that core question is fairly top of mind for a lot of us right now.
And sort of like the further north of 90 you get, the harder
No, it's been true since 70 or 80%. It's been true for a while that it's getting harder and harder. Although long-acting injectables have helped a lot. That has helped a whole swath of people that had trouble before, and might for a long time help that.
Okay, is there I think we're pretty set on what we need for the presentation.
Oh, I have
And
another question.
okay.
For the slide on, let me scroll to it, on H for EMA, for Marin County, there's a dark blue piece of the pie that doesn't exist. I think that's the wrong color. And then there's also like a random number floating after the years. Is that the sample size? If so, I don't know. It doesn't have it for the other counties. So if you want to remove it or say that that's the sample size. Maybe because the sample size is so small that you want to identify it in that way, but it's not clear.
Okay, thank you.
And then I have a quick question. So then the viral load suppression, you said it's only for clients who receive primary care services.
Yes, I mean, technically outpatient ambulatory health services, but that's basically primary care service.
If they receive medical case management, aren't case managers required to collect the lab information and enter it?
Yes, it's required.
Okay,
We
but then.
maybe don't trust that it's 100% clear, which meant,
Okay.
so I don't know who made the decision way back when to
I
only
see.
include that, but I've never felt wrong about it. I think
Okay.
it's a strong choice. We have a few medical case management programs that are somewhat spotty on that front.
Okay. I
They
think it's
have to get
helpful
that
to
information from
know
the client, and they need like a lab printout.
maybe it's helpful to know the percentage of the total Aries UDC that's in here. I think that's like 4,000 people. Even though it's supposed to be the total is, yeah, more. Just so we see how many people are being reflected in that group on that slide.
Okay.
I think that's helpful.
Okay, any other questions? If not, thank you for a great report. It should be very helpful.
Yo.
Thank you, guys. All right, Mark,
Thank you.
you're up.
All right, I'm going to ask Kira to share screen. For some reason, I can't access this document because
Oh, this is on STIs, by the way. Yeah.
my download folder is not working. So thank you very much, Kira. Actually my first time seeing it since I haven't been able to open it. All right, Stephanie's unable to make today's meeting, and so I'll just go over this slide by slide, and any comments or questions or feedback I'll send over to Stephanie. So next slide, please. All right, describes they address STIs through EPI reports, programmatic efforts to specifically address those STIs, implementing innovative strategies, partnering with systems, and looking at disparities and challenges that continue. Next slide, please. Okay. A little bit larger. Okay, here's the org chart for Population Health Division. As you see circled, those are the areas where STI is living. All right, next slide, please. Some stats in the US. Next slide. Some stats around chlamydia, gonorrhea, syphilis, comparing us with a few other cities. Looks like we're the winner. Right. Moving on. Next slide, please. So, a little overview of what's to come, specifically reportables versus the not reportable STIs. Next slide, please. Here's a list of the priority populations. Any questions or comments on this slide? Next slide, please. It's annual STI incidence for chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis shows that we've had a decrease. Looks like, especially in syphilis. Any questions on this one? Next slide, please. Next slide, please. Chlamydia by race and ethnicity. See here, Black African Americans are at the top of the rates. Next slide, please. And with gonorrhea. Next slide, please. Oh, actually, why don't you just back up a couple? It looks like it's only gonorrhea and then one more backup. So we're not seeing, and then one more. I think that's, yeah. Okay, so we're not seeing anything with syphilis on here as far as its own dedicated slide. All right, among youth. See here again, Black slash African Americans highest for chlamydia. Next slide, please. Right. You get a specific breakdown. Next slide, please. Actually, can you go back to that slide? Let me read that note there on the side. Wonder if that should be expressed rather than suppressed. What slide number is this?
This is 14.
Next slide, please. Okay, next slide. Slide on genital syphilis and pregnancy. Let's see what this slide is telling us. We have a headline. I imagine most of the information in here is going to be verbal, yes, or at least it's just showing the some of their tools. Next slide, please. More about congenital syphilis. Any questions or comments about this slide? Next slide, please. More congenital syphilis cases. Okay, next slide, please. Rates of SF female syphilis cases, all stages. Next slide, please. DoxyPep and STI incidence. Next slide, please. Any questions or comments about this slide? All right, next slide, please. STI trends with MSM and trans women. Rates have gone, it's like down and then up. No. Yes. Okay. Any questions or comments on this slide?
It looks kind of like something happened to the graphic that like cut it off, like something's on top of it. Like, I don't know if you have the PDF or the PowerPoint, but maybe have Stephanie double check the slide.
Yeah. I think there's another slide from 20 to 23 next.
Oh, is that what's happening? Can you go to the next slide? Yes. I see. Can you go back to the prior slide? Sorry to switch back and forth. Yeah. Okay. So this is just showing the problem before pre-doxy-pep. Okay. Next slide again. And there we see. Yeah. Okay. Makes sense. Actually, Jessica specifically illustrates. Although there is a bump there with gonorrhea. All right, any questions or comments on this slide? All right, next slide, please. Maybe a better color for the early syphilis cases. Can you all see that? It's kind of, I don't know why they chose white. What slide number is this, Kira?
This one is 24.
Okay. Next slide, please. More information about the decline due to doxypep. All right, any questions or comments on this slide? Next slide, please. Again, showing decline, MSM. Trans women. Next slide, please. Can you go to the prior slide? Okay, chlamydia and then syphilis. Got it. Okay, next slide, please. All right, next slide. Gonorrhea. They have not steadily declined. Interesting. Any questions or comments on this slide? Disheartening information. Next slide, please. Mpox. Next slide, please. Illustrating the continuing sporadic and low number of Mpox cases. Next slide, please. Summary of STI epi. Still high among cis women. Been an increase. Number of pregnant syphilis cases. And so has not led to, I see, okay, but the elimination store is a high priority. Still disparities amongst youth, D, declines in chlamydia and syphilis among MSM and trans women. And pox is not eliminated, has not experienced a spike. It's important to continue the promotion of the Mpox vaccine. Any questions on this summary? Next slide, please. Strategies. Next slide. Materials they're using. Next slide, please. The path to hopefully eliminating congenital syphilis. Next slide, please. Description of the work of the Congenital Syphilis Prevention Task Force. That. Okay, next slide. Description of Team Lily. Next slide, please. Increasing access to low barrier, rapid syphilis screening. I have some data on number in jail health services, as well as a whole person integrated care. Any questions or comments in this slide? Next slide, please. Interesting information on STI tests by race and ethnicity. Next slide, please. Some campaigns around sexual health, home-based testing. That's pretty good. Okay, next slide, please. Ah, this should be familiar to us from a prior presentation on health access points. Next slide, please. A slide on the focused effort with the Black/African-American community. Next slide, please. All about links to do with syphilis, with HIV, with Mpox. Great. Any questions or comments about this slide? Next slide, please. Oh, there's a lot of slides. SF City Clinic overview. Next slide, please. More on City Clinic. Next slide, please. Training and capacity building, looks like will mainly be information via the speaker. Next slide, please. Right. Information on City Clinic. There's 48 slides. Okay. I do think some of these slides will go by pretty quickly. A lot of them are based around the same topic. Next slide. The challenges slide. Take a look at this depth. Challenges around syphilis, people who become pregnant, and the role for DoxyPep. There's challenges around antimicrobial resistance, makes it difficult to treat STIs, and resistant gonorrhea, resistant to Mycoplasma genitalium. There are bison shortages. Of course, stigma and discrimination remains ongoing. And of course, threats to funding. Any questions or comments on this penultimate slide? All right, last slide, please. Let me guess, it's going to be questions. Oh no, it's going to be a summary. Surprise. All right, this little summary of SFDPH's STI programs. They're evidence-based, equity-focused, stigma-free, low-barrier, informed, and implemented by collaboration with community. This is an integrated wraparound service model. There's new tools being used all the time. There's partnerships. Okay. Well, that's I guess that's a wrap on this presentation. It's a long one. There was some feedback a couple months back, actually, from community engagement about what they wanted to see, hopefully, in this. Let me pull that up. They wanted to know about our policy regarding treatment on demand. By our, I mean San Francisco. Do we feel their overview of their various venues answers that question about treatment on demand?
I think the treatment on demand was more about substance use facilities, if I remember correctly, less about
Oh.
STIs.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Well, then scratch that. Let me go back to actually that email you sent me, Kat, and see if there was anything specifically around STIs. No. All right. Thoughts on this very long presentation? A lot of information, particularly around, I'd say, three specific STIs. A lot of information about actually how we are addressing the challenges there. Good portraits of like some wins, but also good portraits of like where the challenges still lie. Yeah. Any thoughts?
On your agenda for the big meeting, which one's going to go first?
Good question. I usually put the Aries report. Oh, it's actually now. What is it? New name. Sorry.
This year it's kind of still Aries report. Yeah, we're in transition
Oh,
for
okay.
title. Yeah.
Then I will continue to call it Aries instead of the new name that I don't have at the tip of my tongue. I mean, well, you two are here and Stephanie is not. Do you have a preference as far as coming first or second?
We're never gonna object to going first.
Okay.
It is better for a couple of the people in our work group. And also, it's always nice to have a fresh audience, you know, selfishly. But that's not fair. Whoever.
So unfair. All right, farewell, Marco. I'll see you later. Let me think. How long do you think your presentation will be, Beth and Vilma?
I mean, it's usually about a half hour, like 20 minutes. So we went faster this time, especially on the first earlier slides, because we figured you wanted more of the overview. So it will take us longer in real life, and we might divide it up amongst more people. Like Kevin and Eric in our group did a lot of the data preparation work this year, so we'll probably split between three or four of us. So I'm guessing we'll present for 20 to 25 minutes and take questions for 5 to 10
Yeah.
minutes,
Well, yeah,
unless people have a lot of questions.
these are two lengthy presentations. So, Kat, if we make sure the food arrives at 5 o'clock and then we have like a shorter dinner break, so let's say 10 minutes, that will leave an hour and 20 for possibly two presentations, which is basically 40 minutes, so about 5 minutes less than I usually like to give. But I think that's really
That's
doable.
more than
That's
enough for us.
definitely that's
Yeah.
more than enough for you. The STI one, oof, I don't know about that one. I mean, it might be like a lot, like I said, a lot of that is just like basically showing materials, and I assume like a quick verbal overview of it. So I think that could fit in. She does know the amount of time that we usually give. I told her that in advance. So Chuck, I guess to answer your question, we have a brief update from DOS along with our regular general updates. And then we don't have any other presentation pre-dinner. Although I suppose we could start the Aries presentation and then like take an unnatural break, sort of like mid-presentation. It's not the greatest thing, but it could be done to give more time. So yeah, I don't know if that really answers your question, but I guess I'm going to put them second, and I'll try to get. It looks like they'll get at least 40 minutes. I would like to give them like 45 or longer, just because of the based on this. So when I put together the agenda, it might have them both after break. But if it's okay with Beth and Vilma, I might split it up just to potentially allow more time for both as well. Does that sound okay with the two of you? Yeah.
Yeah, and we can also go shorter if you want us to. There's a lot more new council members this year than in past years. So
Yeah, that's
yeah,
exactly
so
what I'm thinking.
it's maybe not the year for us to go as short as possible.
Yeah, and like the Aries report, along with a couple other reports like John's service summary sheets, those tend to like gather a lot of interest from folks. So I'd hate to short either one. So that's what I might do, is I might do a kind of a unnatural split with a break in there, just because I don't want the STI presentation to go over 6:30. All right. Any other questions for me, or that I can give back to Stephanie?
One question about the first slide where San Francisco had much higher STI rates. What year was that from? Because some of the stuff improved a lot in the last couple of years, and I'm wondering, just
Yeah,
like
can
in my
we?
mind to understand,
Yeah,
like.
can you pull that back up, Kira? I think that was fairly early on. You mean the one where there was a
Yeah, it was like
comparison
slide 4 or 5, I
between
think,
the other
where there
cities?
was it was like you were like San Francisco's winning in the negative sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one, what year, 2023? Oh, and 2029 to 23. Okay, thank you. So it
I
doesn't show
think
the improved in the last 2 years rates necessarily yet.
that'll be a good question for them. Yeah.
Okay, so if there's no other questions or anything, then the next meeting will be on September 9th from 3 to 4:30. So we'll see everybody then. Thanks for everybody showing up.
Thank you.
Had a big group today.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you,
Pat
everybody.
and Kira,
See you
say hi.
soon. Bye.